I actually would have given Tadhg Furlong the man of the match for his work rate. I mean, he was very similar in the game against New Zealand. I suppose I am slightly biased because he's a prop forward, but I'll tell you what, there hasn't been too many Irish prop forwards that's tackled, carried and scrummies as well as he did over 80 minutes last night, and I thought his performance was outstanding, as was Van der Vlij, I should add. But just thought it'd be nice for Tadhg Furlong, because I think he is somebody now who has really come to the fore. 12 months ago we were worried in case Mike Ross would get injured. Now we don't even know who Mike Ross is because there's that many young props have come to the scene. And Tadhg Furlong's performances against both New Zealand and Australia, I'm sure Warren Gatland has noted down his name, but it has been quite amazing, and it just shows you with the academy setup what they've done and these guys come through. But you know, normally you don't expect 24-year-olds to be coming through as prop forwards at this level, which both Finlay Beenham and Tadhg Furlong are. Jack McGrath, I think, 2026. You know, it's strange, we talked about Mike Ross. I mean, what about Cian Healy, who was God Almighty for about 5 years? Mm-hmm. Cian Healy, at the way Jack McGrath's playing at the moment, will always be a bench player. And sometimes I think now at this stage of Cian's career with those injuries, that, you know, coming on after 55 minutes in the Six Nations especially, he can actually contribute more to the team than if he'd started.
Yeah, because he's an impact player. He is one of those explosive players, and that's what you need coming on as a substitute.
Yeah, he can. You know, he can give it a go for 25 minutes, but because if he starts the game, obviously when the game starts, there's a lot of to and fro. There's a lot of getting to know your opposite number, the scrums. You know, there's a lot of politics being played in the game to get. But when you come on at 55 minutes, that's the time when people are starting to get tired. The game opens up that wee bit more, and it gives ball carriers like him just that wee bit extra space to be able to break through. And certainly, even with ball in hands, he's still a formidable size. Still a great scrummager to be able to do the last 25 minutes. And really, from Joe Smith's point of view, it's the four props at the moment, the way they are, and the bench with Sean Cronin, who didn't get as much game time last night, and I'm sure he didn't begrudge it. Being Rory Best in his 100th cap, he was playing 75 minutes and looking as if he could have played the full 80. But I mean, that was obviously something that he would be delighted for. The fact that they won the game was more important.
So, Alec, overall, looking at the Irish team, you know, was there any stage yesterday in that game that you were saying, well, we're probably not going to win this one?
Well, it was that wee bit before half-time, as you always felt knowing Australia, that they are capable of, you know, getting a try. I mean, I saw there's a couple of papers, but I know Paddy Jackson sliced his kick. And, you know, they said it was because of the slice kick of the try erupted. I mean, I don't go along with this as I don't go along with Johnny Sexton done the same thing. There were seven more phases of play. And in actual fact, when you think back to it, not saying too much, I noticed it, but I didn't really think too much of it. But I noticed reading three papers this morning that they all felt that the pass was forward to Hayden Petty, the one that he took on that they offload from Pillow. Going on under the post, and apparently they asked the referee, but he was quite happy. I didn't really at the time notice that one, but apparently at 17-7, you had to think, you know, if it had been 17-0. But, I mean, they did come back and they scored two tries. But let's be honest, I mean, you know, the Irish backline last night, to play international rugby against the second nation, or the so-called second nation in the world after New Zealand, you know, a scrum half on the wing, an out half at full-back, a winger playing centre and a scrum half in the wing. I'm trying to think of the all permutation, but I mean, it really was unbelievable. And the thing was that all those guys knew, or sorry, Gary Ringrose as well, I should add.
Out of position in the centre, yeah.
In the centre, but he is a centre. But and obviously Paddy Jackson played the full 80 minutes as well, something that rarely does a night half do in Irish rugby. But the fact was that all those guys knew that every tackle had to go in. They were talking about, you know, some of them were giving away maybe a stone and a half, if not more, to their opposite numbers. And the physical battle that tells. And, I mean, Ireland were in a situation, Miles, where if somebody had got injured in that back line, they were down to 14 men.
Yeah, they could bring on a forward, but they would be out of place in the back line.
Virtually, they had, at that stage, Delane was on, and they had Van der Vlij. He came on. You know, there was nothing really left, and it was absolutely tremendous the way that they actually put their bodies in the line. I honestly believe, Miles, that in the context, just to see if Joe Smith does make comment, although he doesn't tend to make comparisons, which is probably from his point of view very good. I honestly believe that result last night, in the context of the game, in the context of the team, in the context of the way injuries went, was a better result actually than beating New Zealand in Chicago.
Yeah, you mentioned that off air, and I think Joe Smith kind of alluded to that actually in that little clip that we played there, because he did kind of suggest that it was as, definitely as good, if not better, than that match against the All Blacks where they beat them in Soldiers Field.
Yeah, I mean, the fact was that, again, and it's what we talked about last week, you know, whenever they went ahead at that 24-20, again, it was sort of, again, around about that hour mark where there was the same situation against the New Zealand last week. But, I mean, they really then started to play the rugby, and the score they got, the one that Keith Ayres got in the corner, was absolutely tremendous. Paul O'Mahony, he really put himself about and cleared out the ruck. The ball went left and over he went. And Paddy Jackson, cool as a cucumber, sticking over the conversion. And Jackson's kicking at the moment in the three games he's played against Australia, Canada and the All Blacks. He's now got, I think it was 12 out of 12 for that. And considering his kicking at sometimes for Ulster can be rather nervous, I thought yesterday, I was just sitting when the first penalty came, I thought if he nails this one, he's okay, you know, and it was one of those things. But even kicking that conversion to put yourself three ahead, psychologically that lifted the crowd, it lifted the team as well, and overall, I would say that Joe Smith would have took the reins off last night, Major, and have said, boys, it's party time.
Well, yeah, it was up to themselves because they weren't coming back to the Irish setup, but it's up to the provinces, I suppose, to
really... Well, I'm sure they will enjoy the night. I think after what they have achieved in the last 3 weeks, beating the All Blacks, just Molly losing to the All Blacks, well, destroying Canada and beating Australia has been unbelievable. And you think what they achieved in South Africa. And, you know, if you were to write down, Miles, all the names of every player... If you put down the names of every player that played in the three test matches against South Africa, the two games against New Zealand, and the game against Australia, I think we wouldn't be far short of the 45 that Joe Smith wants for the World Cup.
That's probably true, but you know, there's a few years to go yet, so you don't know who else is coming through the from the academy, and they're coming in fairly young as well, so you know that's a couple of years away. So.
Yeah, well, of course, I mean, the thing is that doubtful if Rory Best will be there at that time. Johnny Sexton, there's probably a question mark against him. Rob Kearney, Andrew Trumbull, maybe Keith Ayres, it just depends. Devon Toner, Kane, you know, so there are, you know, it's 3 more years, and that's a long time in international rugby. It's a long time, Miles, for the body to take the hammering that has taken it over the last 3 and 4 weeks. And, you know, I think as far as this team is concerned at the moment, I would think as far as Rory Best is concerned, I would be very surprised if Rory hasn't set his mind on a triple crown or a grand slam and then a magnanimous gesture that he's leaving. And said to you before, Miles, and we've said it in Highland before, I notice now that some of the newspapers are starting to tout him as the captain of the Lions, and maybe they'll wake up the odd time and realise how many Irishmen have captained the Lions. But, you know, the guys that he's up against now, I noticed somebody said Sam Warburton, who really struggles to get on the Welsh team and who has created nothing since that last Lions tour. Dylan Hartley, he's struggling. Jimmy George of Saracens is pushing him very, very strongly. And even yesterday when he came on, he looks the part. So, well, I mean, I'm sure that's the last thing knowing Best is on his mind. But I think this autumn series, Miles, has now means that the internationals are set up or for the Six Nations. You know, we're away to Italy, we're away to Scotland, we're away to Wales. Not decrying that they're not the three best teams, but if you wanted a championship where you were going to nail your colours, those three away, France and England at home, and I think the fixture setup was perfect. Now it's for the boys to deliver, and certainly if they produce 90% of what they produced against New Zealand and Australia, I think we'll be cheering pretty well.
That's a good prediction, and we'll keep you to it and look forward to it coming to fruition.
I suppose, Miles, it's one thing talking about, it's another doing it. But I think for the first time, you know, so many times a false dawn, as we often call it, about Irish rugby. I've been watching Irish rugby now since the 70s, and the number of times you go into the game as favourite and you're in the game for 60 minutes and then it doesn't happen. And then maybe the odd game that you're not supposed to win, you win it. But consistency was never something that Irish teams were known for. They had a lot of heart, they played with a lot of spirit, but sometimes the application which Joe Smith has brought the team mean, it's a totally different game now. You can see every player knows exactly what he has to do, and it's maybe taken Smith a couple of years, but I think he has, no matter what happens, he certainly has left his trademark in Irish rugby, both with Leinster and with Ireland.
He sure has. Briefly, we'll go local rugby championship. Three, you watched Strabane against Cavan. You seem to have a good effect on Strabane. They do the business any time you're there.
Yeah, I think a lot of the boys don't like to get slagged. And no, certainly yesterday it was a tight game against Cavan. And once again, it was a Strabane scrummaging and they're rolling moles in the line-out. I'm very impressed with Cavan, actually. They played really, really well. And in the first 10 minutes, they literally owned the game. And they had an out-half. I mentioned him yesterday, Kieran Crowe at out-half, who not only was a lovely runner for ball, but kicking out of hand and kicking off the tee was superb. And I would say he's a guy that has had more experience than playing in that level of rugby. But a good result for them. Unfortunately, from the Letterkenny point of view, they won the PSNI, lost out in a high-scoring game by 41 points to 27. But to score 27 points is very, very good. The Rugby Regional 1 miles is just the one game, really too strong for Donegal Town, winning 68-17. The City of Derry-Dungannon game was called off because of match conditions, as was the semi-final of the Junior Cup between Omagh and Coleraine, which will now be played next week. And really, AIL 2C, they continued their good season with a 26-6 against Kanturk, certainly, and that has kept them at the top of that league. But from Derry's point of view, that game being called off, Miles, doesn't help them at all, because I don't know what the situation with Dungannon was with their full side. But if you look at the league table yesterday, the league table now, the fact that Old Crescent won again yesterday, they're fourth at the bottom with 20 points, and Derry have 3 points, then Thomond 7, and I think it's Skerry's on 11. So it looks as at this moment in time that those three sides are going to battle it out. But a game in hand is really not what Derry needed at the moment, because if they lose next week away to Barnhall, which is going to be a difficult game, it means they're bottom of the table come the break, and that doesn't help anybody.
Okay, we'll leave it like that, Alec, and have a nice peaceful time in the meantime, if there'll be no more internationals in the new year.
Nothing more at the moment, Mads, and as I say, the only thing was I along with 15,000 people had to turn our steps around as we approached the Kingspan Ravenhill Stadium on Friday night. Unfortunate from Ulster's point of view, should add in that particular thing, Mads, that even though Ulster didn't play, the way results went actually helped them slightly in the league table, and the fact that both Leinster and Glasgow were beaten. But having said that, you have to hand it to Munster. They had a great result yesterday. Winning, what I think it was 41-5 against Treviso. 48
they scored, yeah.
48, so,
sorry, 46-3.
Munster, who were lying about 7 4 weeks ago, are now top of the table with 33, Leinster and 32, Ospreys 31, Scarlets 27, and Glasgow 26. So there's a lot of rugby to be played in those games, and certainly over the Christmas break, and there's going to be a lot played. And, of course, the Champions Cup, mate, the Champions Cup is 2 weeks' time, so it'll be interesting to see how that all pans out and how all the Irish players perform for their provinces, because they definitely must have drained the tank a bit. But I suppose winning rugby makes you excited to play more.